Hello, ladies and gentlemen, listeners to this podcast.
Here we are again, ready to talk about Cool World. Cool
World. It's like a cool world. I really enjoyed the movie.
It was definitely fun to watch.
Yeah.
When you think about that title, though, cool, like, do you think that they thought that that world would be cool to live in?
Yeah, I mean, I think
I never really gave it much thought, but
I mean, wouldn't it? You can get. There's only one rule in Cool World.
Don't fuck the cartoons.
Don't fuck the cartoons. That's cartoons the are rule. Not to fuck the Noids.
Noids is a terrible name for humans, but I think that world was hell. Like, if I was
so
in there,
chaotic.
I would be freaking out. There are those weird things that were running across the screen all the time.
Yeah.
I mean,
but that's the point. But that's the point, Michael.
And like,
because is Cool World, like, Brad Pitt's true life was so bad that the real human world was scary to him. You know, like.
Okay, well, let's kind of talk about like the basic structure, like the basic plot here. Which, by the way, spoiler alert. There's no plot. This movie had kind of no plot. I remember I like paused it to see 41 minutes in and there had nothing had happened except for that these cartoons were trying to look hot.
I mean, hypersexualized. Yeah, give a synopsis and then let's get into
it. All right. Here's the basic outline. As I could guess. I mean, so Brad Pitt comes home from war. And takes a weird motorcycle ride with his mom where she's, like, enjoying it a lot.
The year is 1945.
Yeah, but still. People didn't fuck their moms in 1945. She was, like, on the back of that motorcycle, like, soaking wet. No, I'm just kidding. It's really gross.
Feeling those vibrations on the...
She was. She was, like, leaning over and, like, kissing him on his neck. Or like, it was just too intimate of a motorcycle ride for a mom.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the mom that he was talking about in that interview from across the tracks. Anyway, they're going on this motorcycle ride. They get hit by some drunk drivers who were coming out of a place called Gambling. And they leave Gambling and they get in their car and they just hit them in the motorcycle and they fall and mom dies. Brad Pitt, I couldn't tell if he was dying or not, and I also couldn't tell what made him go to Cool World.
So – simultaneously, Cool World exists. And here, this is my biggest plot hole in this whole thing.
Okay.
Which is that it starts in Las Vegas in 1945.
Yeah.
And in 1945, simultaneously as he's on the motorcycle with his mom, there's a professor in Cool World, which is this toon world.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to break out into the real world. Okay? So he just so happens to like peek into the human world right when Brad Pitt is at the most despair he's ever been in his life.
And
he tried to switch places. And it turns out later that he did end up staying there. Anyway, we find out throughout the course of the movie that Cool World is a comic book written by this guy. What was his name again?
Jack.
Jack, right? Yeah, his name was Jack.
His name was Jack Deebs.
Jack Deebs, yes. Had created this. So then we cut to 1992.
See, okay.
This is my thing. That's my point, is that the movie starts in 1945 and Cool World already exists, but there's no way that Jack was alive in 1945 to create Cool World.
No, I think maybe, if anything, what it is that there's kind of like a Cool World. Once Cool World exists, it's kind of outside of the normal time-space continuum. And so it, like, he has that weird, like, I don't know, the time travel stick or like the dimension stick that makes him, what's it called? They call it the point or something.
What is it called? They call it the spear?
Yeah, the spear. Who cares?
Yeah.
He has that, and like I think he just like opened and it just happened to be 1945 in the place that he opened, but like he was technically in 1992 because that's when Jack created him, you know? It's just that they can travel time because Brad Pitt doesn't age.
Oh, so they go back in time, basically.
I think he maybe went back in time because in his world, it's like not in our world where there's linear time. It's
okay,
like,
so he went back in time to pick this particular guy.
Not on purpose. I think he just like kind of was like, oh, here's the real world. And look, it's 1945.
Right.
You know, that's my best guess.
Yeah, I think that was really a conundrum for me. Thank you for solving it.
I don't know if I solved it, but it's the only way I can make sense of it. Okay, so so that happens. The weird professor thing, which I thought was going to play a bigger role, but didn't really come back until the very, very end.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there was this weird, spooky, gangstery kind of guy who was kind of sleuthy, who I thought was going to be a bad guy. He looked villainous. And he had those three little gremlins that
Goonies.
Followed him around.
His goons.
His goons. And I thought those guys were going to do something, but they just were annoying.
Well, okay, so
they didn't do anything.
This is another thing about this movie that I actually really enjoyed, is that I thought that, yeah, it was going to be, because basically Brad Pitt comes to Cool World and becomes like the sheriff of Cool World. So I'm thinking there's going to be some like toon drama, but then like a wrench is thrown in and it's all about sex. The whole fucking movie's about sex.
Yeah, that was weird.
Unexpected.
I was ready for a plot, Space Jam-esque plot.
Exactly right.
Did not happen.
No antics. Just fucking and sucking.
No antics. Hollywood had an orgasm on camera.
I mean to say. And by the way, do you know her name is spelled Holly, H-O-L-L-I, Wood, W-O-U-L-D?
Yeah, like who's going to, which one of these cartoons is going to fuck fake looking Willem Dafoe?
Hollywood. I mean, Hollywood.
If anyone would, Hollywood.
Gabriel Byrne stars in it.
Gabriel Byrne, and okay.
I love him.
Quick fun fact. The director, I forget his name all of a sudden.
His name is Frank Mancuso.
Yeah. He really wanted Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
And he got Byrne, which is like he looks like Willem Dafoe.
A bit.
He's like Willem Dafoe knockoff. Like, I thought it was Willem Dafoe at the beginning.
But, see, I read that Ralph Bakshi, the producer, wanted Brad Pitt to play Jack.
Yeah, that too. They wanted Brad Pitt to play Jack and Drew Barrymore to play Hollywood.
Yeah.
Which, what a pair that would have been.
Brad wanted to play Jack, but he ended up being...
I'm glad he didn't. That would have made him weird.
Right. He's not bad boy enough.
No, oh, this is my other issue that I had with it. And I say issue not in like a bad way, because it was still fun to watch, but there's just a lot of questions, that's
all. a lot of questions. It was almost like they came up with this technology to like put cartoons and humans together, and then they just were like, let's use this for an hour on a very loose plot line.
Well, so the original plot, the idea for the original story was to create a live-action human who has sex with a cartoon, and they create a hybrid child. The live-action human goes back to live-action world, and then the hybrid child, visits the real world to murder the father who abandoned him.
Whoa, wild and crazy kids.
And that sounds kind of like a story that has an arc.
I am but into like this it. One,
right? I was into it. I was like, I can watch that movie. But then, like, I think it's because the director said a lot about how, like, the studio changed a lot of stuff from his original vision. And I think that's probably kind of along the lines of, like, this part of the story is not going to work for us. We're going to need you to change this. And he's like, well, I'm not changing this. And they're like, okay, well, it's going to be a weird movie then. And it just is.
Right. Well, okay, let's finish the storyline then, I guess.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Because I have some things to talk about, just like the technology that they used and the way in which, the acting.
Yeah. The sets. Oh, the acting. Okay. But so there's a lot of sexual tension for about 20 to 30 minutes after Brad Pitt ends up in Cool World. There's just sexual tension for a while. And then
between him and busty blonde Hollywood.
Hollywood and his wife, I guess?
And
I don't know.
His brunette girlfriend.
Yeah. Who
I really... Okay, so Hollywood, when she finally breaks up... Basically, Hollywood, all she wants in the world is to go to the real world, human world, so she can have sex with every man in human world.
Yeah. She's thirsty.
She breaks out by having sex with Jack, who she's coaxed into the world that he's created.
I'm sorry, did you say coaxed?
Coaxed.
It's okay.
Coaxed? Is that not a word? Coaxed?
You know, I'm just going to let everyone know that one of us is a little bit hungover today. I'm not going to say who. But here's a hint. A word. It's not me. I think coaxed, maybe.
Coaxed in the past.
Coaxed.
Anyway, she lured him in through his dreams. Meanwhile, okay, so Jack has created this world.
Uh-huh.
He's created Hollywood.
Yep.
Jack, when we first meet him, is in prison, and he's thanking his drawing of Hollywood for getting him through these hard times in prison.
So what? I'm wondering what he's thanking her for. What did she do for you?
He's masturbating to her.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's what
she's
I was
like
alluding
to, but
you said it.
He's ejaculating on his own drawings.
Yeah. God.
I'm so sorry.
This movie is so filthy. Look, if anyone listened to this, if anyone watched this movie, then they won't be offended by what we're saying, because it's not as weird as the movie, even.
No, the movie. But it was enjoyable the whole time. Maybe it was because I was thinking about this podcast while I was watching it, so I was thinking about things I could say, and there's a lot to say. Anyway, nope. She breaks out into the human world.
It's not 100% clear how or why, but like she wants to have sex with humanoids for some reason.
Oh, is that why it's called noids?
Yeah, humanoids.
Ka-cling, kaboom in my brain.
Oh.
I was like, where did they come up with this word noids for?
stupid word. But it's bad. Like at one point Brad Pitt says like, she wants to – all hell will break loose.
No, I wrote it down. He said, this is going to the – in his, like, sincere acting performance. Yeah, he's, like, giving it his all, because it's still in his early career. He's still got, like – it's a little bit of the same as, like, Across the Tracks, where he's just, like, acting. Anyway,
But you got to remember he was by himself for most of this movie.
Well,
so.
And it's painfully clear. For all of the humanoids in this film, it is painfully clear. It's not seamless at all, which I enjoyed.
Because the whole thing about
like movie magic is that you're not supposed to see how the movie's made, right? You're not supposed to see like
how
the magic is done, but you can fucking clearly tell. And I wonder like if I was watching this in 1992, if I would be kind of wowed by it, but because we have such amazing animation now.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but there was a part where he picked up a drink at the bar, and then like as he was gonna set it down, you could see that he was just holding a popsicle stick. Like the animation wasn't perfectly blended with his hand, and he was holding a popsicle stick in his hand. And it's like they didn't even go back and try to fix it.
You
25
can
years
see
later.
The clear direction. You can see it's almost like we were on set with them, because it was also the sets themselves in Toon World were like stage sets.
Yeah, it was like a theater, like they were theater flats, and like it was made out of foam core and
which is wild because it had a $30 million budget. I guess that's how much it cost to
$30 million budget, but it only made $14 million lifetime gross. $5 million opening weekend, not great,
Bob. So but anyway, so she breaks out and Brad Pitt like whips to the camera. And he goes, this is going to be the biggest shitstorm the cool world has ever seen.
What? I want to know. I wish they would explain just like what was going to happen. What could possibly happen? And what about Cool World isn't already a shitstorm? It's a mess. It's a chaotic, hellish landscape that I do not ever want to be stuck in. The thing is, when Willem Dafoe was stuck in Cool World the first time, he was like,
his name is not Willem Dafoe.
Well, yeah. It's pretty close.
It's Gabriel
Defoe.
I disagree. I mean, okay, carry on.
Gabriel did fine. You know, I'm sorry, Gabriel, if you listen to this, Gabe, baby, you were great.
He was totally, totally fine.
He was fine. Yeah. Brad could have done it better. But anyway, the first time he goes, he's like, wow, this is fascinating. And I'm like, I wouldn't be fascinated. I would be like, someone drugged me. I'm overdosing. I hope I don't die here.
Right. He's like, wait, did I actually get out of prison or was I put in the chair and now I'm in hell?
Right.
And what did he do to get in prison?
Oh, he killed someone that he found in bed with his wife. Remember? Remember when he was in the store? Okay, that was a really funny moment when he was in the store and he was like signing autographs.
He's in a comic
book store. Comic book store. And he's signing autographs and that guy is like, God, what did he say? He said something like, did you get out of jail already? Do you remember that guy you remember why you went to jail? The guy you killed for seeing who you saw in bed with your wife? Or something like that where he just said it?
They really needed to cover why he was in prison without covering it at all. They needed to that is like such a movie school thing to do.
Yeah.
It's to be like, okay, we need to know why. We're just going to put it in one line in the script.
And have him be flustered and walk out. It's like such a, no one would ever say that. Like, remember the guy you killed? Which guy? Which guy? The one you found in bed with your wife? Oh, yeah, yeah. Him. Yeah,
it's funny because we're trudging through all of these early 90s movies. We're outside of Thelma and Louise. Every movie we've seen, the scripts have just been like nightmare.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because, it makes sense though. I mean, Brad Pitt is not yet a star. And he doesn't really have a whole lot of – I mean, he probably has some choice that he can make. Like, he's, like, probably got some options, but he's probably trying to – I mean, he obviously did the right thing because he ended up fine. It's just that those early – he didn't have the option, like, am I going to do
– Right. He took anything that was coming his way.
Pretty much. Like, I think he had, like, three options, and he was like, is it Cool World or another Across the Tracks? You know what I mean? He was like, Cool World.
Right, Cool World. And Cool World had names. It had Kim Basinger in it.
Yeah, she was a name. And the director had made other movies that were, like, did well.
Yeah.
Like, he has a following.
This is a big deal for him.
And a $30 million budget. He was a lead role in a $30 million budget movie, which
is great.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
On paper.
And so, yeah, so... Basically, just to finish the plot line, which we don't really know, Hollywood, the blonde cartoon version of Kim Basinger. How do you say her name?
I don't know. I think it's Basinger. Maybe.
Kim, whatever. So Hollywood bones Jack and becomes Kim Basinger. Damn it. It's going to kill me. and ventures out into... Las Vegas, current day Las Vegas, 1992 Vegas, and then goes wild and crazy.
Oh my God. She, first of all, what was Jack thinking bringing her out of the house? She is unhinged.
Because he's in love with her.
She was, but
he's
like,
genuinely in love with her, which I thought was very off putting and makes him a crazy
person. It's weird because
he
created her.
Yeah.
Why didn't she have more reasonable qualities?
Right. He's in love with her. Basically, all hell's about to break loose. She needs to get the spear of cartoons to, keep the door open. The, door between Cool World and the human world. He stops her, and in the act of stopping her, becomes his own cartoon superhero. And then lives in Cool
World.
Which
was bizarre.
Yeah, and then lives with Cool World. As they're get married, and he's like, you're gonna live with me forever, Hollywood, and him get married.
Wait a minute, I missed that. They got married?
Well, no, he's like, you're gonna live with me forever, and you're mine now. And she goes, the last line of the movie goes, pencil dicks.
Yeah, I do remember that.
She keeps calling everybody pencil dicks. It's like,
I think it's an insult because they're drawn with pen, maybe?
Hey, bada boom kablooey. Really great.
Well, they have that pen that they use.
Yeah, pens are like guns in Cool World. Yeah, because you can, if you have a pen, you can suck up the characters around you.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, okay. Brad Pitt dies in the real world.
No, he dies in,
he dies in the real world. Uh-huh. Then he's brought back to Toon World and
cool
turned
world.
Into Cool World.
Yeah.
And turned into a toon. And he can finally have sex with his brunette. Basically, he's been abstaining from sex with his brunette toon friend. And I really was looking forward to seeing who she would transform into as a human.
I know. I was too. Okay, I have a theory though about this. It took me a long time to figure out that if you have sex, honestly, I didn't know. Like, I didn't realize that if the doodles have sex with a person, that they turn into a person. Right. I didn't know that until it was happening to Hollywood.
Exactly, and I think they did that on purpose.
Okay, so then I thought maybe Brad Pitt doesn't know that either. And Brad Pitt just knows, like, you can't do it.
He's been
told.
Don't
know why. Yeah. You just can't do it. And I thought, like, what a perfect scenario for a deeply closeted homosexual who is – he has a shitty life in the real world. Mm-mm. He goes to Toon World where he's like, wait a minute. I'm not allowed to fuck anybody here. I can just deep in the closet. And then his girlfriend's like, oh, baby, I want to have sex with you. And he's like – and he's like, no, can't do it, babe. You're a cartoon.
I can
but you're
see
so
it.
Hot.
I see
so
what you're
hot.
Saying. But see, this was the ethos of the film. This was the, like, director and writer being like, okay, now this is where we're going to have some real heart, which was that his true human world was so sad and depressing, and he took so much responsibility for killing his mom that he just wanted to run away. We all, as humans, wish we had a place we could run away to, like Cool World, where there's no rules. You're not held accountable for anything. And he's like, I fucked up so bad in my previous life that I'm going to be a rigid fucking dick in this one.
Yeah, and that's also a recurring theme in all sorts of media, that
yeah.
If you are allowed access to a world where you don't have consequences, you just want to fuck everything.
Yeah, it's
like
all about
in Westworld. Like Westworld.
Don't even get me started on Westworld.
Okay. All right. We won't get into it.
Sorry. I have a lot to say about that show. Not
yeah,
about
well,
it.
Not this podcast. Unless Brad Pitt makes a little cameo, then we can have a Westworld moment. He'll be great for that show.
This movie got – I thought this was interesting. It has a 4% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
But it has 4 stars on Amazon, 4 out of 5.
That's probably because – when it came out, it was supposed to be taken seriously because it was coming right off the heels of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which was big hit.
Fuck
and
yeah,
also,
I love that movie.
Yeah. And so they were trying to like kind of ride that wave a little bit, and it wasn't the same, and it was like confusing. I mean, it's confusing. If you try to take that movie seriously, you would have not a good time because it doesn't make any sense. And also, it's just so weird how much of it is about sex. Like, so fucking
right.
Weird.
It's really jarring. Like, it settles into you about like a half an hour and you're like, wait a minute, we're actually watching yeah. a movie. Because you think it's going to be a Who Framed Roger Rabbit type situation.
Yeah.
Where, like, there's like a mom boss and like there's drama, but it's not, no, it's not at all. It's literally all about sex. And her Hollywood is so, so hypersexualized. I was like, the way they drew her is sexy. I mean,
it's gross. Like, you almost see her like camel toe a bunch.
There's,
and like,
yeah, there's a moment where he leaves the room, like he comes to confront her about how he knows she's trouble, and she like, he leaves and she's left alone in her apartment, like sort of like bemoaning and like
oh,
being sad.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And
yeah.
she spreads
her legs
and
yeah.
like and like sinks into the couch, and I'm like, if I was attracted to women, I would be aroused by this film. It's unfortunate that you're a gay man, because
teenagers?
I want to know. I want a male's, straight male's perspective on this. Like,
okay,
if
first
they
of all,
find her,
do
to
not
be
shame
hot.
Me. I'm just kidding.
How dare a hex on you?
No,
I just mean like, because you don't. Did you find her to be attractive?
Well,
she's hot.
No,
she is.
I mean,
hot,
I found that I could figure out that she was hot, like
right.
supposed to be hot. But like, I'm wondering like. Even if they drew like a really sexy, like, guy.
Well, this was another problem for me. Brad Pitt looks great in this movie. Remember last week, and I was like, "Oh my god, I'm not attracted to Brad Pitt anymore. We've seen too many." He's hot again. He's good looking again.
I had a thought on that too, because I was thinking you cast Brad Pitt, who at the time was coming off Thelma and Louise
yeah.
and Johnny Suede.
Yeah.
Both of those movies and Too Young to Die, which he wasn't like super hot in that, but he was you know, anyway, you cast Brad Pitt and then you don't make him look super sexy. Like he had, he was only hot in the beginning when it was like,
when he was a good boy.
No, on the motorcycle with, I mean, with the mom. I was like with, I was like in my, in the mom's shoes, but he like didn't, like the rest of the movie, he was just like in a baggy suit, like kind of mumbling the whole time. He wasn't like, you know, like they sort of miss an opportunity to like make Brad Pitt sexy.
I think this is the first movie we've seen in which we don't see his abs at any point. He's clothed the whole time.
It's true. Yeah. He's fully clothed the whole time. And like they were so focused on making the cartoon sexy, I guess, that they didn't.
Well, they didn't need to make him sexy. He didn't need to be sexy for this role. But my point was,
he didn't need to be, but his acting was, he's acting by himself. I don't know.
What I was going to say, though, is that Hollywood transforms into the like hottest, most gorgeous woman. And it's a really, it led me to the question of, oh my God, I have so many thoughts. Basically, when Brad Pitt becomes a cartoon, he is not hot at all. He's not even remotely attractive as a cartoon. And the women are like,
no.
Sex, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And he as a fucking tune is like, nada.
Boyish. Well, I think that maybe it's because they were trying to make him have this boyish charm about him.
And she was this, like, oh, honey.
Innocence.
I just want to circle back to the gay, to you being a gay man, and I feel bad for shaming you. But I just mean, yeah, like,
we're,
I remember,
because
like I am attracted to men, and I've been attracted to cartoons. Did you ever watch Daria?
Yeah.
Do you
not
remember
a lot,
Trent from Daria? I had a legitimate crush on Trent from Daria, who was a cartoon. He was, like, so fucking cool.
I don't know if I've had any cartoon crushes. I don't think that I have. Wait.
Yeah, I mean, guaranteed there are men who masturbate to this film over Hollywood.
Yeah, I was like, thinking about that, too. Like, I wonder how
so
many,
sexy.
Like, teenagers were like, holy shit, look at that. Look at that ass on that car.
But then I was thinking about the animators, like, the men who are like locked away, because animation at that time was like really strenuous and you had to draw frame by frame, cell by cell. So these men are just like sitting in their animation studio, probably fucking, I don't know, man.
You think, I don't know. I don't know about that. I think after, at a certain point, it probably started to lose its magic. But still, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. It was confounding to me. The other thing I wanted to know was what came first, the animation or the acting? It seems like
probably the acting.
It seems like it, but then that annoys me because then they could have perfected the animation. Because it's a little bit off. You know, it's like they didn't give it their 100. It's like they went 90%
on it.
Do you know what I mean?
Kind of. I think. Yeah, I don't know. It's like I think they maybe just did what they could with what they had. Like the acting was, it's hard for them to do anything interesting.
It's so uncomfortable when he like puts his arm over his girlfriend. You can tell that he's just like standing there.
Just, and when he's
massaging
holding the phone.
Her.
I forgot.
And
about
like
it.
His hands. I wish listeners, maybe I'll put a video on Instagram of his hand movement.
Doing right now. It's making me real uncomfortable.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
That's my point. To watch someone do this is not a comfortable thing.
No, like, and when he's like holding the phone, it's just his thumb up in the air. I don't know. There's a lot of weird things like that.
It felt very like drama school. It felt very like this is how you act, because you had to see them actually acting. It's very like improv-y. Like pick up the box.
Right.
You know, how heavy is the box that you're holding?
But what was weird was the car that he drove was randomly a real car.
I mean, maybe.
But then once he got out of it, it would cut back and the car would be a cutout of a car. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's – I'm wondering how much of the budget – I think they probably shot their wad on animation and so they like lost all their money on sets. Like they couldn't – they had probably had a small art budget. Art department budget.
Shot their wad on.
They shot their wad on Kim Basinger. Basinger? Damn it. And they shot their wad on animation. That's why it was such an expensive movie to make.
I don't know how I feel about the sentence, they shot their wad on Kim Basinger.
Well, Jack did.
Strong statement. Jack sure did. Yeah. Okay. That scene really, I was like so taken aback. I was like,
shocking.
Can't believe.
I was like, wait a minute. Are they fucking right now?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
I didn't expect it.
I was like, I know she wants it really bad. And like, that's the thing is like all of these cartoons, like even like Lady Bugs Bunny, Lola Bunny or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Even she is like supposed to be like sexy. But like I don't know. My brain never goes so far as to think like, what would it be like to fuck that thing? You know what I mean?
Right.
And so like, even though Hollywood is acting all promiscuous or whatever, my brain doesn't really fully go to like what it would be like to fuck her.
Right.
And so I just am like, oh, she's like this sexy, like little too sexy, like creepy sexy.
Creepy
and
sexy.
All of a sudden, she's like sitting on him and I'm like, oh, he's inside her right
now. He's inside her. This 2D her. Yeah, I mean, it is problematic.
What is wrong with him?
What the fuck is wrong with him? Clearly he's a maniac. But you see, I guess that was my problem. Like, we find out that he's killed his, the man who fucked his wife. But we want to like him, and I was kept thinking that maybe we were going to come around and find out that he didn't actually do it. But he did.
Nah, he did it. He did it.
He did it. And no, so, like, he's a crazy person. The problematic thing for me is, like, okay, we get it. She, like, wants to have sex, but, like, so badly and with everyone.
Yeah, when he took her in the real world to, like, that jazz club or whatever.
Yeah.
Few things with that moment. First of all, start small. Maybe start with like a walk around the block or something. See how she does interacting with other
people. No, it's Vegas, baby.
Even, yeah, just like see how she interacts before you take her somewhere where like people know you. And then she just goes right up on stage and says, what did she say? Like, I want you to, like, she says something nasty, like, I want to fuck you or something, like, to just the MC. And she's like, give me a beat. And, like, he's like, all right, you heard the lady. Give her a – it's like, wait, what? And then he's like, hey, that's my lady. And he gets kicked out.
Yeah,
the bouncer was like, oh, she's ours now, buddy. And he kicks him out. And it's like, wait a minute.
It makes no sense. It was like, honestly, I would say this movie is like somebody's brain ejaculation, just being like, I want to have sex with a cartoon. Somebody who, like, loved comic books growing up and, like, maybe – actually, the brunette and the blonde really smacked of Betty and Veronica from Archie Comics.
Totally.
They look almost exactly like them.
Yeah, they do. Somebody didn't have sex for a month or jerk off. And then they took acid and wrote this movie.
This person who wrote this movie never had sex with a human being. Because they were like infirmed or really hyper nerdy comic book nerds. And so they created this woman that they wanted to fuck who also was insatiable for intercourse.
Yeah.
But it was enjoyable to watch. Like it was like, I was like laughing to myself because it made no sense.
I
was too.
And I kind of appreciated all of the practical sets, even though it looked a little corny sometimes.
I agree. Like,
I was
all
like, I like what they did. Like, yeah. I like the effort.
For all of my criticisms, it was like a lovely romp. It's not a movie that we should sit here and talk seriously about. You know, it's like,
no, you can't, because we're going to give it one star.
Well,
but that's movie.
It would be stupid of us to like take this movie seriously because it doesn't take itself seriously.
Okay. I have a few questions that I want to ask. Just general questions.
Yeah.
That I was thinking as I was watching this. First of all, am I supposed to want to fuck this cartoon?
Yes.
And I think that's a yes. Follow-up question. Am I supposed to want to fuck the car that the cartoon is driving? Because that car had a booty. A big, plump butt.
Really?
You didn't notice?
No.
That car was kind of sexy. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Michael.
Fucking right in the tailpipe.
You're like, listen, I'm not into Hollywood, but I am into a nice round booty. Anywhere that it can be found, I will find my own thing to fuck.
And then there's another question that I had. What happens if you fuck that weird spider?
It would become a spider.
Like a real giant spider? Just like
with shoes and a hat and a cigar. Lots of cigar butts. Lots of hate.
Lots of cigar butts.
Cigar butts all over the place.
Or, I mean, any of those aliens. Like, what if you had sex with any of them? Would they?
They'd be real.
Maybe that's the biggest catastrophe that Brad Pitt was talking about. Like, oh no.
You mean the biggest shitstorm the cool world has ever seen?
Yeah, he's like, oh no, all these aliens in cool world are so sexy. It's so, I'm the only one who can restrain. Nobody else will be able to, and this hell's going to break loose. Okay. Can Brad Pitt go back? That's a question that I had. Can he go back to the real world if he wanted to?
He did.
What's the deal? Yeah, he did, but at some point.
Oh, you mean as a cartoon?
No. I think if he went back in the end, if he went back, he would be in the same state he was when he left, which was almost dead.
What I'm saying to you is this. He could go back. He could have gone back anytime.
But how? And why? He just didn't want to?
He didn't want to because he was running away from how scary and terrible and the bad shit that he killed his own mother. He's guilty. This is my point. This was like the whole ethos of the film I was trying to say earlier. It's like he could at any time have gone back. And Hollywood called him on it. She was like, you're a loser. Like, you're just running away from your problems here. You can go back. You don't know how good you got it because she wanted to be a human so bad. She calls him on it. And then he's like, the only way I can go back is to repair the damage I've done by trying to save the whole world and dying a martyr.
Ugh. Fucking martyrs. Okay. I guess that makes sense. But it wasn't clear for a lot of the movie. I mean, I had that question at like the hour mark. I was like, wait, so he can go back?
He didn't go back because he was running away from his problems and he was scared of the real world. And I get it. You know, the real world is fucking scary.
Yeah. I could live in a Toon world if it wasn't that Toon world. If it was a Toon world where I drew all the characters.
Right. That was a nightmare.
Drew some hot cartoons.
That Toon world is a hellscape. It's just like really a lot all the time. There's just like a lot going on all the time.
It's always dark. It's always dark. Never daytime.
And she lives at the penthouse of that whirly swirly building. I was like, damn.
Yeah, it would suck to be at like one of the side apartments. It's like a complete angle.
Yeah. So yeah, I liked it. I liked it. Is there anything else we can talk about? I wanted to also talk more about the world of 1992 because I got a few funny facts.
Okay, let's hear them.
So, okay, 1992 was the year that Bill Clinton was elected.
Oh.
Which, obviously. But this was really funny, this one fact that I read. So George H.W. Bush is the president at the time. Mm-hmm. He, I didn't know about this. I wonder if you did. He, shit. Sorry. Hold on a second. Oh, here's an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. 1992 was the first year that Cartoon Network was a thing.
Oh, so I wonder.
Yeah.
I wonder if Who Framed Roger Rabbit had anything to do with that.
Right, and this, I think it was like the 1992 was a very like toony world. Like we were crossing
dimensions.
We were like, we can play with tunes if we want to. But the funny thing that I wanted to say, which I can't find now. Okay, yeah. Oh, okay, here it is. Ready?
Yeah.
So it was the year that the Cartoon Network was invented. But get this. That year, President George H.W. Bush vomited on a Japanese prime minister during a state dinner.
Wait, I think I heard about that before, but it's like, why don't we talk about that more
often? I had never heard of that. I was like looking through the facts of 1992, and it was like, you know, it was also the year of the Rodney King riots. It was like a big year.
Yeah.
But I'm like going through and, you know, like the end of the Cold War officially, and then it's like President George H.W. Bush vomited on Japanese prime minister. I was like, what? It's pretty cartoony.
I didn't know presidents vomited.
Yeah, they fell on prime ministers. Like, George, go find a plant.
Go find a bush or yourself or like just not on the prime minister of Japan.
I don't remember, but that must have been huge news.
That must have been
hilarious. If Twitter existed in 1992, can you imagine?
Twitter would have had a ball with that. Can you imagine if Donald Trump threw up on somebody? Ew.
Oh, that would everything about Donald Trump is disgusting. Yeah, another interesting fact was Hurricane Andrew hit Florida, destroying a facility housing Burmese pythons and released them into the native. Like, there were no pythons or snakes in Florida until this hurricane happened. And now Florida's overrun by pythons because of that storm that happened in 1992.
Oh, interesting. Cool world.
Yeah, cool world. And then the cost of a Super Bowl ad in 1992 was $850,000, which is pretty fucking
steep.
Holy
Jesus.
Yeah.
How much are they now? Do you know?
Like millions and millions. I can tell you, actually.
We have a Google machine.
I mean, and these aren't for the featured ones. Like, the average cost
right.
is $4 million. No, sorry. In 2018, it was $5 million. $5.5 million. That's insane.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a random fun fact. I know we briefly talked about how they originally wanted Brad Pitt to play Jack Deebs.
Yeah.
But then Gabriel Byrne eventually got the role. I guess some of the executives from Universal or Paramount, I forget. Was it Universal?
Yeah.
They were like, screw that, no charisma, Brad Pitt. We only want Byrne, Gabriel Byrne. And they just like were yelling, Byrne,
yes,
Byrne.
Eh?
It's like, whoa.
Byrne, baby, Byrne.
Byrne, only Gabriel Byrne.
Yeah.
No charisma, Brad Pitt.
I mean,
he's
the king of charisma. He grows into his charisma. He doesn't really have a lot, to be honest.
To be fair, he didn't have – the only movie he had charisma in was Thelma and Louise, but he was also directed by
Ridley Scott. He was directed by Ridley Scott, and he really – all he needed to do was be hot.
But he was so much more than hot. Okay, we're going to keep going back to Thelma and Louise. Still not
I read that Ralph Bakshi – was almost fired and sued by Frank Mancuso Jr. for punching him in the nose after he told them that the script was going to be changed to that original script that you were talking about, like from the one with the arc to what it is now.
Yeah, well.
Who fucking made that decision? Who at Universal was like, let's change the story to sex with tunes?
I think that he sort of pitched it as like a hard R-rated like version of Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
And so with that in mind,
which is
like,
a great idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the arc he had was also a great idea. And they were like, yes to that. And then they were like, it's not really hard R and it's not, it doesn't have that sex appeal. And like, it doesn't, it's hard to get a big name attached. Like,
right.
It'd be cool if we could get Kim Basinger or Basinger. You know, I bet you it was something along those lines where they just wanted like something a little more sexy. And so right. They went just over the top.
They went over the top. And yeah, I mean, it was entertaining. I read also that as a publicity stunt. Oh, it wasn't Universal. It was Paramount.
Oh.
Paramount placed a huge cutout of Hollywood on the D of the Hollywood sign in LA. Did you read that?
Oh, yeah, I did. I saw that. And then people were mad, and I would be mad too, because it's like, all right, let's not, I don't want to look at the Hollywood sign and see some different advertisement every time I look.
Right. And so they had to pay a shitload of money to rebuild LA right after the Rodney King riots. So
yeah.
They were already spent, there was all these, because I think the Rodney King riots, like, they lost millions of dollars in damages just from the riots alone.
Oh yeah, it was insane.
Right. So they basically contributed a bunch of money when people got mad that they put Hollywood up there to pay for fixing LA after the riots.
It's a bummer that publicity stunt didn't even work and they still only made $5 million on their opening weekend.
Yeah, well, because it was like this movie almost got there, but didn't.
It did. You're right. It was like, I wonder what could have been done to make it what would have been like, maybe if it was funnier. Like, if they had a little bit more of a sense of humor about the sexiness of it, like a purposeful sense of humor,
yeah,
not
I think,
so much a
I think you're
accidental
right. I think,
funniness.
I think also an actual plot line would have been good.
Yeah, that,
you know?
Maybe. Yeah, a plot line would help for sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. I liked his hair in this movie. He has a smaller pompadour in this hair. In this movie, he has a hairstyle similar to yours.
Yeah, this is... Yeah, this is that was more similar to my hair, too. And I think you look good. I mean, obviously, I'm a little biased because I'm like, what if I was like, that's a hideous hairstyle?
No,
yeah,
I think no. It was good. It was good hair because it was hair from 1945, like when people really still cared about doing their hair. Like in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, people fucking did their hair up to the 50s. Yeah. Then in the 60s, everybody was like, fuck this. I'm growing it out. I'm going to be hippies.
I think I'm going to give him a 5 for hair because it's not extraordinary. And I think we're not to the point yet that maybe I'll give it a 6. We're not to the point yet that people have realized that his hair can do anything.
It can do anything. I know.
I mean?
I'm going to give him a 5. I mean, I'd give it a 7 or an 8 even.
7. An 8. Wow. I just don't think it's that done. It's nothing to write home about,
but for what it is, it's good.
The thing is sometimes his hair makes his whole thing look so much sexier. In this particular case, it doesn't really add much to him, which is why I think that a 5, maybe a 6, because it's like, it's not bringing a whole lot to the table, but it looks good. But the thing is, it looks good because anything will look good on him. So it's fine.
Well, that's why I was going to say tune in next week, because next week is River Runs Through It. And that's Long
Night Grab. Oh, yeah. I'm excited to watch that one.
This will be our first like super serious, high budget film with long hair.
Interesting. Okay. So his hair, you're giving it possibly a 7.
I'm saying 7. Let's stick with 7. Another great Brad Pitt movie.
7. I haven't seen that one either.
I'm going to die.
Okay. So hair is 7 for you. I'll give it a 6. Movie itself, as much as I enjoyed it,
yeah,
I'll give it a 5.
I'm also going to give it a 5. I think that the 4% Rotten Tomatoes is too low. Like it's harsh. If I was going to give it a percentage, I would probably give it like a 65%.
Well, that's 6 stars.
Well, six you know nine. What I mean? Like I'm giving like school grades. Out of 100. Yeah.
If we're if we're rating it based on like how good of a movie it is, it's like a 2.
I'll tell you something. A great way to rate movies in my experience. Actually, this is my first movie rating experience. so I don't know why I said that. But I would say that like a good litmus for it is, do you ever want to watch this movie again? I don't want to see any of the other movies we've reviewed except for Thelma and Louise more than once. This one I would probably watch again one day just to like show people.
Yeah, it's a really fun movie to watch like with other people if weed is involved.
Yeah, real super high when I was watching it, which was making me giggle. Yeah. You know, like it was enjoyable.
Because I think that's what's missing from it is that it's not funny. Like they're not making it, they're not trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that's why if you're trying to seriously review it, you're going to give it a low rating because it takes itself too seriously and it has a weird plot that doesn't make any sense. But if you're a little high and you're laughing at everything because you're high, then it's enjoyable because it's funny. Like it honestly is a funny movie.
Yeah, it's funny because it takes itself seriously. Yeah. And again, like normally you don't like to see how the sausage gets made in a movie. Like you don't want to see them acting.
Sets. You also don't want to see the set.
Yeah, but I was into it for this one because I was like it just is what it is and it's such like a moment in time.
Yeah. It's going to hold up because it is good at accidentally being kind of good.
Yeah. You know, we really haven't talked about Brad Pitt a lot in our podcasts.
I feel like we're talking about him pretty constantly.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I guess right now he's pretty boring. He's still with Juliette Lewis.
He's not really a tabloid guy yet.
Yeah. But next week, listeners, I would like to introduce...
Or listener.
Yeah, or crickets.
Or mom.
Or mom. My mom definitely will not have gotten it this far. We're 50 minutes in.
This episode, my mom may tune out because of how much we talked about sex.
Yeah. We talk about... I said ejaculate a few times.
Blew their load on Kim.
Shot their wad.
Shot their wad is what you said. Okay, wait. Before we get too ahead of ourselves. So you're giving it a 5. I'm giving it a 5 for the movie.
Yeah.
A 7 for his hair, 6 for me. For acting. His acting, I say 4.
I was going to say the same.
It's
he's
not
a 4.
Good. It's not great, but it's like he's limited. So I mean, not going to fall too hard for that. But
I would actually say he's more of a 3, but his sincerity in his role Like, he's really giving it his all. And that's it's off-putting because it's like you don't want to see him trying so hard.
He always does that, though. It's hard to give him a low score on anything because he always really gives his, like, best shot. And I appreciate that.
Which is why I'm excited moving forward when he starts to do, like, actual serious movies, like serious good roles with big scripts, big directors.
Yeah.
I hope that changes. It must change because I never noticed it before we started doing this.
Well, I think, I think that's what it is. It doesn't change. He just gets better, you know? So that's what I'm giving for, because he's still giving it his best. It's just his best isn't as good as it becomes later.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So, four there.
Cool. So that wraps up Cool World. There is a movie, guys, that is a short film that I had to request from the Academy because it's not, you can't find it anywhere. So when that comes in, we'll watch it. It's called Contact. We'll slot it in to whatever movie we're watching when we see it. So that's going to be kind of out of sync. But next week is A River Runs Through It.
Can't wait for that. Another good movie, allegedly.
I've seen it. I used to love that movie. Another brother situation.
Hope it holds up.
Yeah.
If it's bad after you've said it's good multiple times, then I'm going to be pissed. No, I'm not going to be pissed, but I'm just going to.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen it since I was maybe 15.
Oh, so this will be interesting. We'll see.
It could be really bad. But I have to say, like, I'm excited for the night this week where I get to go home, you know, and, like, watch a nice two and a half hour movie, you know, and just, like, dwell in the film for work.
Okay. Yeah.
If anybody wants to pay us, you're more than welcome. This is a lot of work.
This is a lot of work.
More work than I ever would have known. Okay, well.
All right. I guess that's it. Thanks for listening.
Cool World. See ya.
Next week.
Wouldn't want to be
I almost just hung up on you.
Don't shoot your wad too many places. Goodbye.
Okay, that's it for Cool World. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, we are at The Pitts Pod, and on Instagram, we are This Is The Pitts Pod. And if you have any questions or you have any comments, or we were horribly wrong about something, or you're very offended, please email us at our Gmail. This is thepittspod@gmail.com. Talk to you then. Bye. Tune in next week where we talk about A River Runs Through It. You can find it on Google Play, Amazon Prime, YouTube, I think, and Showtime. If you're rich, you can watch it there. So, yeah.